So this is a new year, and we're done with 2019, heading into 2020, and I thought today we could look at how does God want us to go into this new year with Him and to walk with Him through the journey of this year and all the way into His kingdom to come, and especially with respect to time. How should we as God's people walk through the world with respect to the past, the present, and the future? Should we be focusing on one or the other? What is God's will for us about those things? I know this might sound simple to you, but a lot of Christians mess this up. It's so easy to get this wrong as we go through our lives. So it's very important, I think, for us to hear a message about how to view time from God to His people. How does He want us to train our attention as we go and walk through this world with Him? So first, as we start, let's just look at that super theme in the Bible of walking with God. Have you thought about that? Think about this theme in Scripture. Genesis chapter 5, we read this, and this is the seventh generation from Adam. This is Enoch, and it says, Enoch walked with God after the birth of Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Oh my goodness! Think about that. This guy was very old, by the way, but he didn't even die. God took him straight up to heaven. One of only two people not to die. The other one was?
Elijah.
Very good, Michael. So you have Elijah and Enoch, and all we know about this guy, God really must have liked what he was doing, namely walking with him. All we know about this guy is he walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So that sounds like walking with God's pretty important. Look at the next chapter, Genesis chapter 6. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. There it is again. And that's all we hear of the man. We don't hear of all these other things. Simply that he walked with God, and that pleased God more than anything else. To walk with him by faith through this world to his kingdom. Think about this verse in Leviticus 26. God not only wants you to walk with him, but what else? God says, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. So when we're talking about walking with God through this world, it's not just you walking towards him, it's you walking with him. God walks with you, you walk with him, you walk by faith, he's with you, you're with him. And isn't that great? That's all he really wants from us, is to walk with him through the world. If you look over at Micah chapter 6, that makes it really clear. Micah 6 verse 8 says this. He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That's all he's after. Walk with me. Are you walking with God? Do you know that that's the exact real reason Jesus came? Dying for our sins and giving us eternal life. But listen to this verse, John 8. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the reason Jesus came was that we might walk, not in the wrong way like we were doing in darkness, but now to walk in the light of life. That's why Jesus came, so that you can walk. Walk with whom? With God, in beautiful, pure fellowship, with the reconciliation that he brought through this cross and the forgiveness of our sins and the gift of eternal life. This is so important. You know why? Most of the world does not walk with God. They walk in darkness. Listen to this verse in Jeremiah chapter 6. Which God says to his people, thus says the Lord, Stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. In other words, they refused. They rejected God. We're not going to walk in that. Instead, we're going to walk according to the stubbornness of our own evil hearts. And that's the way people do it today. Why don't we have more people in the sanctuary? I'm thankful we have so many that we do have today. That's fantastic. But every church should be filled today on this morning. But so many people are walking in darkness, following their own stubborn evil hearts. And the trouble with that is what? This is very theological and very deep. Let me give you the answer. It's stupid. If you walk in darkness, that leads to trouble now and destruction later on. Because the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, says the Lord. And those who entered by it are many. Those who walk in darkness are heading for a great fall. But the way, the gate is narrow and the way is hard of a Christian, but it is the path of light and it leads to life, both now and especially in the world to come. And so, who has brought us and put us on the path that we walk as Christians with God? Jesus Christ. He is the way. If you want to walk on a road, guess what? He's the way. He is the road. And the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father except by him. And as Christians, how do we go into this world together, into this new year, walking through this world to his kingdom above and to come? By faith. Every day, all really God is after with you is just walk with me in fellowship. What's it mean to walk with God? It means to be in harmony with him. It means to be close, in close proximity to him. It means to be in reconciliation and friendship with God. That only comes through Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Because his blood has ransomed us so that we are actually friends of God because he's put away our trespasses. And we have a joyful relationship with him. And God says, simply walk with me by faith, day by day, through this world, and I'm leading you somewhere great. Isn't that a beautiful life that a Christian has? This is what God is after with us. But we can mess this up, even so, to a certain degree, if we don't keep time properly in perspective. So let's take a look at that and see, where does God want us to train our attention as we go with him, as we walk with him through this world? Let's take the past first of all. Should we, as Christians, as we walk with God and go with him, should we look back? Should we look back to the past? Should we train our attention on former things? God says, forget it. Don't do that. That's not the way to walk with me. How many Christians do this though? We live with the past in mind. For example, here's one way. A lot of people look back to the past wistfully. Have you done this? Oh, the good old days when things were so much better than they are now. Gone is my glory. Oh, my best days are in the past and only darkness before me. Oh, God, and I'm getting older and things are worse. Oh, you know what God says to that? Ecclesiastes 7. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For it's not from wisdom that you ask this. I'll come back to that again in a moment. Another reason, another thing people do is they look back to the past, and this is just as bad or worse, to their former sins, to their wrongs that they've done, their failures, their grievous sins, and they drag those into the present. It haunts them daily. And they feel like they're dragging a great ball and chain. Oh, the horrible things I've done in the past, these terrible things. Oh, I feel so much shame. Oh, God, how terrible I feel. Because you're dragging the past into your present. Do you guys do that? Have you done that? Thought on the former wrongs that you've done and let them come into your present to rob you of all your joy? It's a boulder. It's like carrying a heavy chain. It's carrying your past into the present. it's like this New Year's Eve joke I read where the guy says, I love to watch the ball drop on New York City every year because that reminds me of what I did all this last year. I dropped the ball. Don't drag these things into your present, God says. That's not the way to walk with me. The Christian life is not behind you. It's now and before you. That's where life is. God says, and Jesus says, remember Lot's wife. She looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. And remember also this one, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's not the way of the Christian. Now, is there a time for a Christian to look back? There are good ways to look into the past. What are some of those ways? Well, for one, let's say you're feeling weak, you're feeling threatened, you're facing adversity, and you don't know if you have strength to go on and conquer this present trouble. You can look to your past in that case and draw strength into your present from your past victories God's given you. Who did this in the Bible? Think about David. He's facing a 9 foot tall as this over here, giant. But he thinks to his past and he says, your servants fought lions before. I fought bears before. And the Lord delivered them into my hand. And this giant shall be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. So he's looking into his past victories to draw strength into his present so he can go fight the giant and win. It worked. He can do that. Paul does the same thing when he was in prison sorely afflicted and crushed, he said, we despaired even of life itself. We were so utterly unbearably crushed. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But then Paul says, God delivered us from so deadly a peril, and he'll deliver us again. On him we've set our hope that he will deliver us again. So notice, even Paul does this. When he's in a really tough spot, he remembers God saved me before and delivered me there time and again, and this one shall be like one of them. Could you do that? Are you facing an adversity or a trouble or an enemy, feeling threatened and small? Recall your former victories, God says. Draw strength into the present from your past. This one shall be like one of them. It shall go down just like the others. That's a good way to look at your past. You can also think of looking to the past just for joy and thanksgiving of all the gifts that God has given to you and of how far you've come. One of my favorite movies, Mutiny on the Bounty, of course, sailing ships, right? Fletcher Christian had cast Captain Bligh adrift on the open boat. He had to pass 2,500 miles over open ocean in an open boat with just a small crew, hardly any navigational equipment, hardly any food or water. And after many days, one of the crewmen looked to the captain and said, sir, it's too far. It's too far. We'll never make it. And the captain, mustering courage, says, don't let your mind dwell on that, lad. Think of how far you've come. Think about that. Don't worry about how far you have to go. Think of how far you've come and draw strength into your present from your past, God says. But looking back for any other reasons other than these, don't do it, God says. Don't go looking to your past for these reasons. Number one, your life is not in your past. It's in your present, and you're heading to your life and your future. Secondly, don't look past and back and say, gone are my glory days, for your past is not brighter than your present or your future. Don't go back to darkness, because God is with you. It must be brighter now, and it's going to be brighter still. Whether you know it or not, if God's with you in the present, it's far better than being in the past where he isn't there anymore. He was there. He's where you are now. Where he is brighter than where he was. He's brighter with you now. So your past is actually better than, and it's getting better, by the way. We'll talk about that. Thirdly, your past failures. Here's the big one. Don't drag those into your present, because, listen carefully, Christ came to forgive them. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. If you have a like a lot of Christians do. They drag this big heavy ball and chain tied to their ankle of their past sins. They're dragging it through life. Guess what? Christ came to cut that chain. He didn't come to make you live a life of burdens and sadness over your sins, but freedom. That's the brilliance of the Christian life. You should jump up and shout, "I'm free!" And if those former sins are come to mind, let them not be places of sadness for you, but shouts of joy. Christ redeeming from those. Isn't that wonderful? And they're actually springboards for greater service in the future, because you can now minister to others who are maybe in that same sin that you used to be in, and you can show compassion. But God says, as for your former sins, my children, let it go. It's in the past. You can't change it. It's water under the bridge. And if it's already gone as a stream and river under the bridge, it's far downstream by now. Don't go trying to find those things again. The Bible says that God says, I've had compassion on you, and I've cast all your sins into the depths of the sea. God's not remembering them against you anymore. He remembers what you did, but he doesn't remember it against you. He's forgotten it. So don't you go remembering it, God says. You're free. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Let it go. Do you have something that's haunting you still today? God says, let it go. Let it go. This is the present year. This is the present moment. You're free. Let's walk together in freedom. That's why I came. I didn't come that you'd be miserable people. I came that you may be free and enjoy me and enjoy that I've loved you and enjoy that I've forgiven you and enjoy that you're redeemed and enjoy that I'm now walking with you in a fresh relationship. And I'm not remembering these things. You don't remember them either. So don't live in the past. Paul says, brothers, one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there's the past. Don't look back, except for those couple of reasons I mentioned. How about the future, though? As we walk with God and go through life with him, should we be worried and dreading the future? Oh, no. What might come in days to come? Oh, great shadows might be before me. Maybe an enemy. Maybe something I can't handle. Maybe it'll hurt me. Maybe it'll harm me. Maybe it'll kill me. Maybe it'll overcome me. God says, mm-mm-mm-mm. That's not the way to walk with me either. Don't go fear in the future. Have you forgotten who is with you? That the Lord of hosts is walking with you through this world? You don't have to be afraid of the future. Look at this verse. This is Isaiah chapter 51. God says, I am he that comforts you. Who are you that you're afraid of a man who dies? Of the Son of Man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth? And you fear all continually all the day because of the fury of the oppressor? Where is the fury of the oppressor? He who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down to the pit, neither shall his bread fail. For I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Who is with you, my friends? Don't be afraid of your future, no matter what might happen. What if something bad happens this year? I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. If God be for me, he stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. And the Lord of hosts is his name. There's nothing that can come against you that can conquer you if the Lord of hosts is by your side. So don't go dragging the past into the present, but also don't go fearing the future. The Lord of hosts is with you. Remember what Jesus says. I tell you, don't be anxious about what you shall eat and what you shall wear. What is he telling them there? Don't be worried about the shall. Don't be worried about the future. Don't worry about things that are going to come. Why? He says, well, check out the birds. Doesn't your heavenly Father take care of all these birds? Aren't you of more value than a blue jay or a seagull? He takes care of them, and you doubt that he's going to take care of you? and the grass, it's clothed more rainbow glorious than a king. And God cares for a daisy and a daffodil, and he's going to forget his own children? Are you nuts? God says, don't think that way. Trust me. God knows you need all these things. It's not news to him. The Gentiles seek after all these things. Don't you go seeking after them. You seek first my kingdom. And all these things God himself will personally add to you. He's going to take care and provide for you. Isn't that great? Don't be like the man who said, don't tell me worrying does no good. Why, most of the things I've worried about in life have never come to pass. That's ridiculous. He thinks by worrying, he's keeping trouble from him. You know what worrying does for us? It doesn't keep trouble from us. And all it does is make trouble in the present. Makes you miserable. That's why God tells us, don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't let any of those negative emotions come into my walk with you and your walk with me. You're supposed to be free and joyful. Let me take care of the future. Because I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. And trust in me with all your heart, and I'll make straight your paths, God says. That's a promise right there in Proverbs chapter 3. The Christian life is not altogether easy, is it? Sometimes we got great things. Sometimes it's tough. We've got mountains. We've got valleys. We've got rainstorms. We've got blue skies and sunshine. We've got forests and deserts. We've got gentle rivers and raging seas. And no matter, though, what happens, think about this. If God is for us in all of these things, who or what can be against you? Has he not promised to bring you out as the victor in the end, no matter what happens, if the Lord of hosts is by your side? Did not David conquer Goliath and slay the giant? And Elijah bested 400 prophets of Baal that were arrayed against him? And will he not also give you victory this year, O ye of little faith? Hey, how about this? Instead of your name being Little Faith this year, how about you say, this year my name shall be Great Faith. That will be the name I take unto myself this year. Great Faith, that I will conquer. Because no matter what happens, whether it be things that we like or things we don't like, in any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want, says Paul. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And so don't be afraid of your future. That's not the way to live as a Christian. Go into it bravely, God says. Go into it bravely with me, for I, the Lord of hosts, am with you. You going to do that? Mm-hmm. Well, how about then this one then? We've done the past and the future. Where should we focus as we walk with God? On the present moment. This is where God is. If you think about it, the past doesn't even exist anymore. It's in your imagination. It did exist. It's not even there anymore. And the future, as great as it is that God's prepared for us, isn't yet. So that's also in your imagination. The present moment is where God wants you to live with him. We can see that in the scriptures. Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, the future, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. Just go through the day with me. Go through this day. Enjoy me. Walk with me today. You're going to enjoy him today on this January 5th? Just enjoy him today. And then tomorrow, worry about tomorrow's troubles, God says. Let's just handle today together. That's where you can enjoy God the best. If you came to Tuesday night service, we talked about the pilgrims. They were crossing the Sea of Time, if you will, the Atlantic Ocean. They left an old world, England, and they were heading to a new world, America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, the new world, the land of plenty and freedom, liberty. But across between the past and the future, they had to cross a sea, which we'll call time. Let me ask you, if you're pilgrims, which you are, and you've left your old world, the past, and et cetera, behind you, England, and you got a great world future, the world to come before you, where should you set your mind? Have great hope for the future, forget the past, and concentrate on your present adventure, crossing the ocean with God. It's a great adventure. And frankly, I'll tell you, I've sailed on ships at sea, on sailing ships for a number of years, as you know. You got to focus on the present moment. You can't worry about the past or you can't worry about the future. Like if you have a storm and you go 70 feet over up into the rig and you're standing on a little 2x2 cross trees to furl a sail that is flapping violently in your face, you don't want to be really thinking about yesterday. You don't want to be even thinking about tomorrow. Go to your present task. That's the only way to survive. But also, you enjoy the present moment. There's the sunset. There's the moonbow. There's a glorious sunrise and the sea dancing like diamonds. You enjoy the present moment. And even if God's got a great future and you should set your hope fully upon the grace that's coming to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ and you set your mind on things that are above, these are all true. Do it. But enjoy the present moment with the Lord. This is where he is. Are you going to do that this year? So this is freedom, friends. This is freedom if you'll do it. It's the brilliance of the Christian life. God says, just walk with me today. Enjoy me. This is where I am. And we'll have a great time because I'm with you. Whatever happens, if he's with us, it's a great time, believe me. But as I said a moment ago, also with respect to the future, God wants you to be very excited about it. Are you excited about it? This life, God has great things in store for you. This year, God's got bright futures for you. Why? Well, it's been promised us. Not only are we saved by grace through faith in Christ apart from works, the next line is, for we are God's workmanship, his artistry, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared for us beforehand that we should walk in them. You don't know what God's got for the future year, but God's already got it planned out, what he wants you to walk into. Isn't that great? You don't know the future, but you know him who holds the future, and he's got good things for you to enjoy if you just walk with him day by day in the freedom of Christ. Christ always leads us in triumph, says Paul, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Great life, great year. And the path of the righteous, Proverbs 4 says, is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Oh, my best days were in the past. No, they weren't. Your best days are now and in the future. It's going to get brighter. Why? Because the Lord of hosts is with you. That's what he does, and that's his promise. And he's bringing us, friends, oh my goodness, the future is so bright. Beyond your wildest imaginations. The pilgrims crossed this raging Atlantic. They might have enjoyed some of that experience. But oh, the land of liberty, where they dropped anchor in Provincetown Harbor, we have a greater place, friends, the New World. And you're going to get there. God's leading you there. It's not long. The land of liberty and freedom and joy forevermore. Because he promises us in the Bible in Revelation 7, you shall hunger there no more, neither shall you thirst any more. The sun is not going to strike you, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb, that's Jesus, who is in the midst of the throne, will be your shepherd, and he will guide you to springs of living water. Oh, are you waiting for that? Are you excited about that? You should be. They shall not hurt or harm on all my holy mountain, says the Lord, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is your future. And be excited about it, that henceforth there is laid up for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to you on that day, and not only to you, but to all who have loved his appearing. And Peter says, according to God's promise, we wait for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, where everything is right and good forevermore. So, conclusion then. The path of the Christian, it's forever brighter. It's upward. It's onward to glory as we walk with him. Your life is before you, not behind you, so don't look back. Your future is great. It's secured by the promise of God in Christ, so don't be afraid of it. Just enjoy your present moment going through day by day this year with the Lord and focus on that. But also be excited because your journey is soon to be over. And he's walking with you to his own home and his own kingdom where there will be joy, freedom, life, and light forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.